And this is Sermunition Sunday number 39, meditations intended to equip the church militant for spiritual warfare. And I am the warrior priest, Donovan Riley. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus' words to Thomas: reach out your hand, touch my flesh. These are Jesus' words to Thomas. Reach out your hand and touch my flesh. And this for you is the same call at the Lord's table. Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. God gives himself in the for you-ness of his body. If you want to find God, you must find him where he chooses to be located, in a body. God is found deep in the flesh and nowhere else, at least nowhere else for you. Why? To help dying you. Jesus' death saves only when it is preached for you. Otherwise, what are you left with? His cross, casting its long shadow of judgment over history, pointing a long bony finger of judgment, accusing you, announcing to you, you did this, you murdered God. But when the cross is preached to you, Jesus comes to you now, awful and joyful. What Jesus won by losing is a new kingdom of the Holy Spirit, who calls and gathers sinners, cures sins, and gives your troubled conscience a home apart from every law, every rule, every mandate, and every guideline. All of the awful things that you are, all of them, all the awful things that you are and have, Jesus takes. He takes them away from you. And all the joyous things that Jesus is, all of the joyous gifts that he possesses, he gives to you in exchange. If you are a sinner, then, if you are selfish, self-centered, and self-seeking, Jesus gives you the deal of a lifetime. But if you are holy, if you are good, if you are without sin, you will fight against this to your dying breath. So, how does Jesus make this exchange with you? How will you ever stop your addiction to the possibility of a better preacher showing up, of better worship somewhere else, of better things in the future, of a better you? How does Jesus break through the game of hide and seek that you insist that he play with you? By giving you words. Words that cannot be ignored. Words that cannot be idealized and otherwise turned into something for you to act on. Because God's words are clingable. They're sticky. To anyone searching for God apart from his words, clinging onto the things of this world with their five senses, there is no end to the game of hide and seek that we play with God. But just like he did with Thomas, God gives help against this sin of hide and seek in more ways than one. First, he sends you a preacher. He sends you a preacher to speak words of forgiveness and new life to you and the whole world. Second, he gives you baptism, and he helps you against sin through baptism. Third, through the Lord's Supper, the giving of his body and blood for you for the forgiveness of sin. Fourth, through the power of the keys, the power to open heaven with your forgiveness in Jesus' name, or to retain sins and keep heaven's doors locked. And last, through the mutual conversation and consolation of brothers and sisters in Christ, who can announce the forgiveness of sin in Jesus' name to one another. And so, as it is recorded in John chapter 20, Jesus just stands there with Thomas's sins all over himself. That is, Thomas's sins on Jesus, no longer on Thomas. And then he speaks so that Thomas isn't left to stare in shock and awe, silently wondering what happens next. Jesus just absolves Thomas. He forgives him. He says, put your finger here. Touch my flesh. Don't disbelieve. Believe. And this word, this This simple word ends all of Thomas's thoughts and feelings and fears and hopes of some sort of judgment according to the law that Jesus is going to show up and shove his finger in his face and say to Thomas, "You did this to me. You are guilty of betrayal. You doubted. You sinner. You godless unbeliever. You did this." There's none of that. Jesus moves Thomas from uncertainty to certainty, from unfaith to faith. Thomas's sins are not his anymore, as proven by the marks in Jesus' hands and feet and side. Sins are taken by Jesus in the flesh, in order to catch you in the act of betraying him, and to literally take the sin from your own body. Jesus wraps himself in your sin. Otherwise, you simply bear them as you must, with a great deal of denial, of course, until eventually you succumb to the attacks of sin in the form of cancer or even a gunshot wound. You see, Jesus knows that his resurrection is hard to believe. Thomas isn't the only one who doubts. It's not that you don't believe in miracles, it's just that, well, the resurrection isn't a thing, it's not an idea or a myth. It's a person. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection." Not some abstract miracle, not some idea waiting for you to sprinkle it with meaning. There's no meaning to Jesus' resurrection. It's not some abstract miracle. Jesus is the resurrection. So like Thomas, you do not want to face what your disbelief of God's promises does to you. More importantly, what it does to him. The resurrected Jesus is still the crucified Christ. But as Thomas learned, the sins that were his have somehow ended up on Jesus' own body. But when they are on Christ, instead of festering unto death, they are defeated sin. They are governed sins because Jesus is now their master, instead of the sins mastering you. When Jesus comes to you and says, "Reach out your hand and touch my flesh," he does this so that you may see and believe that the sins that once belonged to you really do now belong to him. Jesus comes forgiving. This word then, this word of forgiveness, this simple little word, is an absolute judgment on all who fight against him. It's also an absolute promise that Christ not only wins the war with sin and death, but does so for your own good. This little word, this simple word of forgiveness, defeats Satan too, who cannot help but let it stand where God puts it into the world, even though he storms and rages against you. Jesus' victory is conveyed right to your doorstep in the simple pronouncement of the forgiveness of your sin. This is what God does to save you, you who rebel and fall under the power of Satan constantly. He does everything. God does it all for you. And what do you do in return? How do you pay him back? What can you do to show God your appreciation, that you're grateful for what he's done for you? Nothing. You do nothing. This is not a transaction. This is an exchange. Jesus takes all the awful things that you are, all the awful things that possess you and that are possessed by you, and gives to you all that he is and has. He gives you everything. And so with Thomas, and with all the saints, you receive God in the flesh, the God who bears your sins in his body, the same body that is given for you to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins, for new life, and for eternal salvation, the same resurrected body that chases a confession out of you, "My master, my God." And so, when you say "my sin," you're saying "my Jesus." When you're saying "my sin," you are saying "my forgiveness," because God gives himself in the for-you-ness of his body, the same body which took your sins and bore them on the cross, the same body which is now risen from the dead and at the right hand of the Father, and who will come again to judge both the living and the dead, and give to you and all believers in Jesus Christ eternal life in the body, today and always, in the name of Jesus. Amen.